a beautiful day to be worshiping the Lord. And you can say that of any day. And I know that a lot of folks are here that are guests, and you know, it's our minds are on other things sometimes, but God is in control, and He's made us wonderful promises. And in that, it is a wonderful day to serve the Lord and to be in His house. We'll talk briefly today about Scripture in John 15. We just read just a portion of that. So let's get into the lesson here. In several days, men around the world will be flocking to the florist or to Walmart, Costco, wherever, to buy flowers of all types for their loved one. But there's a funny thing that happens. You go and you buy these beautiful, beautiful flowers, and you enjoy them, and you try what you can to keep them beautiful for as long as you can, but you're fighting a losing battle, in a sense. Because what do we know about those cut flowers? They've been taken away from their roots, right? And in that, it starts a decay process. And we'll talk about that in the context of this passage this morning. What is so beautiful, and that it has been taken away, though, from its root system, the sustaining power of the plant that it was part of. The lesson today that I want to share with you is called Abide in the Vine, taken from John 15, 1 through 11. And I want you to notice in this picture, look at how healthy that branch is. That's actually a vine. That's not the branch itself, it's a vine, and vines are off of that, and the fruit is off of those vines. So that's really a healthy picture of a grapevine. But let's look at John 15 and what it says. Read with me here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's a key term, vine dresser. We'll see some of the activities of the vine dresser in the text here. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So you see, there's a lot in this passage. I'm going to try to condense a little bit of it, but you see, there's an objective here of glorifying the Father, proving that we're His disciples, and that we might have joy. Okay? And I hope each and every one of you here today have those same objectives in mind. I hope it wasn't your objective to come here to check a box, to say to your neighbor or to show to someone that I went to church on Sunday. I went to worship service on Sunday. I took of the Lord's Supper on Sunday. That's not the objective. The objective is to glorify God. And we want to glorify God. We want to keep His commandments for the joy that's in that and for the heavenly home that's prepared for us after our life here is over. The ultimate thinking long term and in the future, not thinking of what am I doing today in that sense, but in the sense of why, the sense of purpose of serving our God and glorifying Him. So the vine, Jesus uses this term as a familiar symbol to the people that He's talking to. Grapes and grapevines were commonplace. I think the earliest reference in our Bibles to grapes is in Leviticus. So, I mean, this would have been a plant that they were very familiar with. And it was also, at the time of this particular passage, this is after the institution of the Lord's Supper. So it would already have been on their mind, thinking of the fruit of the vine. So in this particular the passage, in verse 6, let me go back one so that you see this. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away. The context here is singular, and it involves an individual. All right. So some people have said that this describes the branches or denominations that are existing in the world. That is completely out of context with this passage. This is really about a personal relationship between Christ and the individual Christian. Does everybody understand that the same way? I hope you do. But that's the way the passage reads, and the way that we need to look at it. All right, so in what or whom are we to abide? Israel had been a vine, in a sense. If you look at Psalm 80 in verse 8, real quickly, you'll see some words there that refers to Israel. Psalm 80 and verse 8. Now this is a passage where they're pleading for God to restore them. And it says here, "You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. Cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land." We also understand that Jesus was from the root, of Jesse. So the context here being, a long time there was that vine. Now this vine is going to be Christ once Christ is on the earth and He's doing what the Lord wants Him to do. But in this context, let's look at this. So they sought at one time to abide in Abraham and the law of Moses. And they continued to struggle with that even after Christ came, and even today people don't get the idea that it's not the Mosaic law. We still have Jews that don't understand the role of Jesus and His role here on this earth as our one and only Savior. But this passage in John 15:1, Jesus leads off very powerfully, and he says what? He says, I am the true vine. That's emphatic. He is the only vine. All right? So we are to abide in this vine. Now, what does that mean, to abide in that vine? We're not going to live in a vine. We live in houses. So what does he mean by that? That's what we want to talk about. What does it mean? What did Jesus mean? Look at the emphasis here that I've highlighted. Hopefully I didn't miss any of those. But look at the terms here where he's talking about either in me or abiding in me, abides in, every branch in me, abide in me, abides in the vine, abides in me, abides in me, abide in me, abide in me, words abide in you, abide in my love, abide in my love, abide in his love. What is the idea that you get from those terms? So let's look at this a little bit before we get into too much. All right. So we're losing a little bit of the animation here from one version to another, but we'll get through that. So it's important that we also talk about pruning and grafting. I want you to understand this as it relates to the context of this passage. The very word prunes is in that passage. All right? The idea of pruning, we typically think of just lopping off part of a plant and getting rid of it. But that's not entirely what's going on here. There's several reasons. The context of this is to bear more fruit. He prunes so he has more fruit. All right. There's also an idea there that there was branches that were cut off. You might think of pruning in that sense. But look at this. The dead wood removal. Certainly if it's not bearing fruit, it's going to be cut off to make room in the plant for that to happen. Shaping. Sometimes if you think about the bonsai trees, the guy, he's trying to prune to shape that tree. And some people prune hedges and so forth to make them grow in the way they want them to grow. You might cut off part of the plant because it's diseased, right? So that it improves that health, because in some senses, if it's diseased on one end, then it can run through the plant and take the plant. You might prune to prepare for transplanting. Take a piece off of a plant and try to root it in another area. But look at the bottom one here. Increasing the yield or quality of fruit, flowers and fruits. I remember years ago when we had first bought a home, there were some trees out there that we were talking about topping the trees, pruning them, clipping them back. And someone told me, said, don't do that, because when you cut that off, you're going to have probably five or so shoots that come out of that cut branch. And they referred to it as a witch head effect. So if you have this tree branch and you cut it off, you're going to get these extra branches. That's the idea of extending the yield of that branch. So that's what the idea of pruning is. Grafting, on the other hand, is very important in the context of this passage. All right? Look at the very first bullet here. We're going to insert tissues from one plant into that of the other so that the two sets of vascular tissues of those plants merge. And they'll join together, they'll heal up, and become one plant. Let's say that again. These two get grafted into one. They share a common system, a vascular system, and they become one. That's important in this passage, and I'll show you. All right. So one plant is selected for the roots, and one is selected for the quality of the stems and leaves or flowers or fruits, depending on what you're talking about. If you're talking about roses, if you're talking about grapes, depends on what you're trying to graft, right? So in that sense, grafting is a very important thing, and it can really improve a plant. All right, so here's a picture of pruning. They're just going to lop that right off right there. Now, you might think, well, that's going to be cut off and thrown away, but that's not necessarily the case. You could prune that and graft it in. Why would that be important? You know, maybe someone is part of something else and not part of Christ, and they need to be pruned off of that other and grafted in to the Lord. Look at this picture. This is a very healthy grapevine, and look at the beautiful grapes that are on that. But look at this right here. This is a huge trunk or part of the vine, and this young vine was grafted into this, all right, because of the root system that this has. And it's hard for you to see over in the corner, but there's a big, big trunk of a vine, and this graft was placed in here, and look how beautiful that happens. All right, so what does that mean in this context? All right. So when we talk about abiding in this context of John 15, 1 through 10 or so, we're talking about a part of the plant and sharing that vascular system. Sharing the vascular system of the plant is where the sustenance is of that whole plant. And because that whole plant is sustained from that root system, fruit is being born. Does everybody follow that? What a beautiful analogy that Jesus chose to convey this message. So if Jesus was that branch, and we are the vine, excuse me, the base of that, He's the base of that, and we're the branches. You see the idea here? We're sharing in that whole system and to bring forth fruit. So the word here that's chosen for abide is the Greek word meno, which means to stay, and it has the idea of an inward, enduring, personal communion. So this would involve knowing someone. Like if I'm abiding with you, I'm knowing you in some type of sense. We have some common understanding. We have we're sharing fellowship enough that we begin to know each other, and we abide in this communion, enduring personal communion. So we have this unity of thought and purpose. We can't be abiding with one another and having an enduring personal communion if our thoughts are juxtaposed to one another, if our purpose is different. Everybody follow that? We as a congregation have to be unified. We must have unity. And in that sense, we share that common communion, built on Jesus Christ, right? So in that sense, we have to have that communion. We have to know. So in the context here, abiding in me, Jesus said, we would know him, we would share fellowship with him, we would have the same thought and purpose as him. So is everybody following that? All right. Good deal. Then why are we to abide in Christ? I would edit this slide and add as the first bullet, not just because Jesus is the true vine, but the first thing and the foremost thing I believe is in verse 8. Look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That would be the objective, to glorify God. Jesus is the means to do that. We abide in him, but the objective is to glorify God. So in that sense, that would be the first bullet of this slide. And of course that Jesus is the true vine. And if we don't, looking at it, if we don't abide in Christ, what happens? If we don't, we cannot bear fruit. We need to be in this system, the root, the branch, the vines, to bear fruit. And if we're over here somewhere, we're not going to bear that type of fruit. We're not even in that plant in the context of this discussion. So in that sense, we're either bearing other fruit that's not the kind of fruit that the Lord wants, or we're lifeless. We're wilting like those plants, the flowers we talked about earlier. But this Bible passage here talks about in verse 6 that if we don't, we're taken away, we're thrown into the fire, and we're burned. Why is that? We're useless to that vine dresser. He's got to clear that out and make way for new, healthy things that are growing and producing the types of fruit he wants. The other thing is, we can do nothing by ourselves. And in Christ, we can do all things. And dependent on Christ for our spiritual life. Remember how we talked about being grafted in and to be part of that vascular system of the plant? Being within Christ and understanding him, that's how we sustain ourselves in a spiritual context. Knowing what the Lord wants us to do and being in communion with Christ. So our salvation depends on us abiding in Christ. And I hope everybody understands that without that, we have no salvation. If we are not grafted in to that branch, that's the context of this passage. If we're not grafted into that plant, that branch, that is Christ, we don't have the salvation that we want. So how do we abide in Christ? All right, so we must get in Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Baptism has a role here. It's not the only step. We talk about the steps to obey the gospel, but that is a step that clearly is defined in the Bible as being key to putting on Christ or being into Christ. Right, and we must continue to be in Christ. Look at Matthew 10:22 there. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Look at this last piece of this verse. Jesus says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This means that you can't just one time say, "I believe in the Lord," and walk away and live any way that you want. It doesn't work that way, and that's what Jesus says right there in that verse. You have to endure to the end. So the other part is we need to grow and bear fruit. Look at verse 5 of chapter 15. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we must bear fruit. We grow and we bear fruit, and we look like that beautiful vine seen in the back of that slide. So thinking of the fruit, what kind of fruit? Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those are the types of fruits that we will have in our own as we have our daily walk of life. Those are the kinds of fruit that we will yield. But the fruit that the Lord is talking about here is beyond that, in that we're talking about bringing other people to Christ. Because if you look at the context of this imagery that the Lord is talking about, the branch, the vine, down to the grape has the seed in it. What comes from that seed? Other of the same type. Okay? So that's how that whole life is propagated. So that's the imagery that the Lord left us with, that we need to bear the fruit that is like us. So in conclusion, we must abide in Christ, and nowhere else provides the joy and eternal life. You can find joy places, but you can't find the type of joy and the eternal life that is within Christ, abiding in Him. This is spoken in John 6:68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Having those words in us is what is part of being in the context of abiding in Christ. So we need to resolve to abide in the true vine, Jesus Christ. So I leave you with this, asking you, are you abiding in the vine in the context of what Jesus taught us? I hope you'll think on these things as we stand and sing. Respond to the gospel if you need to.